Hello everybody, I'm Dr. Uday Ganatra and I'm a dentist by profession. I've also done my management studies as well as I've done my postgraduate diploma in medical legal. So today the topic what we'll be discussing is a very interesting topic. It is introduction to medical and ethical issues in healthcare. Now why I say this is a very interesting topic is medical legal itself has gained a lot of popularity in the last few years. You have seen and ethical issues in healthcare. This is a very important topic as far as healthcare practitioners are concerned. So when we have to talk of both of these topics in a combined frame, it really broadens our horizon as to you know how things are moving ahead. So let's go ahead and see what all topics are we going to discuss. What is the objective of this discussion is it's about Indian Constitution and healthcare in India, health under the directive principles, health in the Indian federal setup, basic legal terminologies, and medical ethics in healthcare. So these are the topics that we'll be covering. Let's go. What all other topics we'll be talking about is the Indian Constitution, regulation of different professional bodies. So when I say of different professional bodies, this would include the MCI, that's the Medical Council of India, the Dental Council of India, and the various other medical bodies. Some basic legal terminologies which are there. Professional conduct, what is expected, how to conduct yourself, etiquette, ethics, regulations, and legal issues versus ethical issues. Now again, this is a very sensitive as well as a very important topic. So when we talk of Indian Constitution in a very broad sense, reference to health under the fundamental rights, this is a very important topic. Health under the directive principles, we'll be also talking of animal health, plant health, environmental health, health in the Indian federal setup, and health and the state list. So now let's come to the first topic, that is health. Reference to health under the fundamental rights. So these are a few basic provisions. This is a very self-explanatory topic, but still I would just go through the pointers. Provision number 16, which is fundamental right, refers to equality for opportunity for all citizens in matters relating to employment or appointment to any state-run healthcare institution. So it is basically explaining about how all citizens should get an equal opportunity in matters which relate to employment. Clause number 19, which says right to freedom, refers to the right of citizens to practice any profession or to carry out any occupation, trade or business. That's clause number 19. And article 24, which explains about the fundamental rights, refers to the rights against exploitation. When I say that, it means when minors are not allowed to work, no child below the age of 14 should be employed to work in factory or minor in any other hazardous employment. In fact, recent what we are seeing in the private sector is also below 18, you know, you cannot employ a person. And when you are employing anybody, it's very important that you understand what is that person is going to perform, whether he's an adult, whether he's allowed to work. And that's what this article covers. Let's discuss now health under the directive principles. Clause number 41, again a very important clause, which says that the state shall, within the limits of its economic capacity and development, make effective provision for securing the right to work. So it is the responsibility for every state to make those effective provisions for securing every citizen the right to work, to education, again very important, and to public assistance in cases of unemployment, old age sickness and disablement, and in other cases of undeserved want. Let's discuss clause number 47, which says that the state shall record the raising of the level of nutrition and standard of living of its people and the improvement of public health as one of its primary duties. Again, this is very important, and if you see, this is the need of the hour actually, that every citizen should have proper level of nutrition, the living standards should be improved, and this should be one of the primary duties in fact. Clause number 42, agencies to provide for just and human conditions of work and maternity relief. So again, this clause is important as to avoid exploitation of workers, you know, when they are working, women if they need maternity leaves. So when they can join, how many months they can, take rest, all these points are covered under this. Now let's talk about animal health, plant health and environmental health, which comes under clause number 48, that is organization of agriculture and animal husbandry and improvement of environmental and safeguarding of forest and wildlife. Clause number 51A, that is duty to protect the natural environment including forests, lakes, rivers and wildlife, and to have compassion for living creatures. So recently we have seen that a lot of organizations are coming forward so as to protect the natural resources because of the rampant development that is happening in across, and it becomes the duty to protect whatever natural reserves that we have. Now let's discuss health in the federal setup. This is covered under three main topics, that is the union list, state list and the concurrent list. So union list comes with clause 58, that is manufacture, supply and distribution of salt by union agencies, regulation and self-control of manufacture, supply and distribution. Clause number 59, which talks of cultivation, manufacture and sale for export of opium. Clause 81, which talks about interstate migration and interstate quarantine. Clause 84, which talks about excise on tobacco manufacturers produced in India, except alcoholic liquors for human consumption, opium, Indian hemp and other narcotic drugs, but including medical and toilet preparations containing alcohol. Under the state list comes clause number 6, which talks of public health and sanitations, hospitals and dispensaries. Clause number 7, which talks of pilgrimages within India, in which case the provision of healthcare facility comes under the state responsibilities. Clause 8, intoxicating liquors, the production, manufacture, possession, transport, purchase and sale. Clause 10, the burials and burial grounds, cremation, grounds, proper maintenance of which is very crucial for human and animal health. Recently during our corona, we have during the COVID-19, we have been seeing that what the situation was in the country across. Thankfully, we are out of it right now to some extent, but this is again a very important clause. Clause number 14, protection of the plants against pest and prevention of plant diseases. And clause number 17 of fisheries, promotion and fish breeds, protection of fish from diseases. Now let's come to the concurrent list, that is the maintenance of public order or the maintenance of supplies and services essential to the community, infants and minors, adoption, treatment of lunatics and mental deficient, adulteration of foodstuffs and other goods, and drugs and poisons. Also covering under this would be the population control and family planning, invalidity and old age pensions and maternity benefits, medical education and their affiliated universities, vocational and technical training of labor. Lot of work has been done right now in technical training and vocational education for labor, where in medical, if you see, there is a lot of work that is happening when we are talking of training of paramedical staff, training of technicians, training of people who are involved with the maintenance. So a lot of work is happening on that, and that is also the need of the hour. Charities and charitable institutions, preventions of extension of infectious or contagious diseases, vital statistics including registration of births and deaths. Let's now discuss the regulation of the different professional bodies in India. So primarily we have the MCI, that is the Medical Council in India, the DCI, also called as the Dental Council of India, the Pharmacy Council of India, the Indian Nursing Council, Central Council of Homeopathy, Central Council of Indian Medicine, that is Ayurveda, Siddha and Unani, and the Bar Council of India. Let's discuss first the Medical Council of India. Under that, we'll be talking about what are the objectives, why is this Medical Council of India formed, functions, what are its duties, what is the composition of the councils and regulations. So what are the main objectives? First is maintenance of uniform standards of medical education, both undergraduate and postgraduate. This is extremely important because throughout the country, the standards of education has to be uniform. Then only it helps the students. Recommendation for recognition, derecognition of medical qualifications of medical institutions of Indian or foreign countries. So a lot of institutions, whether they are running up to the mark as laid down by the Medical Council of India, are they having the requisites to carry on the way they have been told to? Are there enough patients for the doctors, for the students to learn and to experience? These all are very important. So for that, they conduct regular MCI checks are there. We also will be talking about permanent registration, provisionals, registration of doctors with recognized medical qualification, and reciprocity with foreign countries in the matter of mutual recognitions of medical qualification. So right now there is a lot of exchange programs that are happening with foreign countries, and whether they are recognized, not recognized, all these things falls under the Medical Council of India objectives. Now, what is the function? The most important function is inspection and visitation with a view to maintain proper standards of medical education in India. So recently we have seen mushrooming of a lot of colleges, but whether they are functioning as per the guidelines laid down by the Medical Council of India, that is very important, and that is where it plays a very, very important role. Permission to start a new medical college, new courses including postgraduate courses or higher courses, increasing of seats, etc. So the doctor to the patient ratio even today in India is, in rural areas it is very negligible, where more doctors are required, more healthcare facilities are required. So taking everything into consideration, whether the seats are enough or they need to increase the seats, they need to introduce new courses, this all falls under the functions of Medical Council of India. Recognition, de-recognitions of Indian qualifications and foreign qualifications. So we have seen a lot of foreign universities conducting programs in India, whether they are valid, whether they need to be de-recognized. So this all falls under the function of Medical Council of India. Indian Medical Register, that is maintenance of all Indian medical registrars of persons who hold any of the recognized medical qualification, or for the time being registered with any state medical council or councils or Medical Council of India. So all the doctors who have been registered, entire data of those doctors have to be maintained. Registration, here we are talking of permanent registration, provisional registration, or registration of any other additional qualification. Now, what is this council composed of? One member from each state other than a union territory to be nominated by the central government in consultation with the state government concerned. One member from each university to be elected from amongst the members of the medical faculty of the university by members of the senate of the university, or in case the university has no senate, by the members of the court. Also, one member from each state in which a state medical register is maintained to be elected from amongst themselves by persons enrolled on such a register who possesses the medical qualification included in the first and second schedule or in part 2 of the third schedule. Also, 7 members to be elected from amongst them are persons who possess the medical qualifications included in part 1 of the third schedule. So this is the entire composition of the Medical Council. Also, 8 members to be nominated by the central government. The president and vice president of the council shall be elected by the members of the council from amongst themselves. So this is the composition of Medical Council. Now, what are the regulations? Most important, the Indian Medical Council Act of 1956, the Medical Council of India Regulation 2000, the Indian Medical Council Regulation, that is 2002, the Screening Test Regulation 2002, eligibility requirement for taking admission in an undergraduate medical course in a foreign medical institution Regulation 2002. Again, this point is very important, where we have seen lot of courses being offered by universities from other countries. Whether they are up to the mark, whether are they conducting the courses properly, are the students eligible for taking an admission in such courses. So all these things are regulated by the Medical Council of India. Regulation of graduate medical examination, the postgraduate medical education regulations, establishment of new medical college regulations 1999. So this has seen a lot of a college which has been established has to be up to the mark, for it should follow all the criteria laid down by the Medical Council of India. Medical Council of India norms and guidelines for fees and guidelines for admission in medical colleges, regularities, that is 1994. So now let's discuss the Dental Council of India. Again, it would have, we discussed the objectives, the composition of the councils and the regulations. The Dental Council of India objectives. First is maintenance of uniform standards of dental education, both at the undergraduate, that is the Bachelor of Dental Surgery, BDS level, and postgraduate, that is the MDS level. It also envisages inspection, visitation of dental, visiting dental colleges for permissions to start dental colleges, increasing seats, starting of new courses as per the provisions. In dental, if you see, there are a lot of continuing education courses that is being carried out. Fellowship courses, whether they are recognized, not recognized, whether they need to be allowed, not allowed, all this falls under the objectives. Recently, there was a guideline where, you know, they have scrapped that the fellowships which are conducted by a few courses would not be allowed. So this all are the objectives of the Dental Council, and the whole idea is just that uniform education is imparted to the students. Also, the objectives to prescribe the standard curriculum for the training of dentists, also dental hygienists, dental mechanics, and the conditions for such training. So it not only talks for training of doctors, but also dental hygienists, dental mechanics. And let me tell you, dental hygienists, mechanics are a very important part when we talk of the dental industry as such. So laying down the guidelines for their training is also very, very important. To prescribe the standards of examination and other requirements to be satisfied, to secure for the qualification recognition under this act. Now, what is the composition of the Dental Council of India? One registered dentist possessing valid registration number and recognized dental qualification elected by the dentist registered in prescribed of each respective state registrar. So this person has to be a dentist with a valid registration number and a recognized dental qualification. Very important. One member elected from amongst themselves by the members of the Medical Council of India. Four members elected from amongst themselves by principals, deans, directors, and vice principals of dental colleges in the state training. Students for recognized dental qualifications provided that not more than one member shall be elected from the same dental college. Also, heads of dental wings of medical colleges in the state training students for recognized dental qualifications, and the Director General of Health Services is the ex officio member. One member from each university established by the law in the states which grants recognized dental qualifications to be elected by the members of the state of the university, or in case the university has no senate, then by the members of the court from amongst the members of the dental faculty of the university, or in the case the university has no dental faculty, then from amongst the members of the medical faculty thereof. Also, one member to represent each state nominated by the government of each such state from amongst persons registered either in the medical registrar or a dental registrar of the state. In this clause, state does not mean union territory. Also, six members nominated by the central government, of whom at least one shall be registered dentist possessing a recognized dental qualification and practicing or holding an appointment in an institution for the training of dentists in Union Territory, and at least two shall be dentists registered in prescribed part of a state register. Now, let us talk of the regulations of the Dental Council of India. Most important, the Dentist Act 1958, the Dental Council of India Regulations 2006, and the BDS Course Regulation 2006. Similarly, now let us discuss the Pharmacy Council of India, again under the headings of objectives, functions, composition of councils, and regulation. The regulation, what is the main objective? The regulation of pharmacy education, as we have seen with medical as well as dental, diploma in pharmacy and bachelor of pharmacy in the country for the purpose of registration as a pharmacist under the Pharmacy Act with a valid registration number. So no one in the country can run a pharmacy store without a valid registration. You know, this is something which is very, very important and serious. Why I say serious is because, you know, previously we had seen that many pharmacy stores are just being run by people who have no knowledge about it. But today, thanks to the efforts of the government and strict vigilant checks, where we are seeing that all the medical stores have a pharmacist who knows what drugs he is being giving if they are for prescription, then without a valid prescription, he will never give drugs. And even with the coming up of this online pharmacies, you know, these regulations are being kept in check. And I have personally experienced a lot of times when, you know, without a valid prescription, they would not give the drugs, which is a good move, I would say. Regulations of principles, professions and practice and ethics of pharmacy. Now, what are the functions of the Pharmacy Council of India? To prescribe minimum standards of education required for qualifying as a pharmacist. Candidate should be 10th pass for enrolling into a diploma in pharmacy course and should be 12th pass for enrolling into a bachelor in pharmacy course. So, bachelor in pharmacy course is again a very important course if you want to become a pharmacist, and all the guidelines as far as for the students as to the admissions are all, this is all what the Pharmacy Council of India lays it down, and this has to be strictly followed. Framing of education regulations prescribing the conditions to be fulfilled by the institution seeking approval of the Pharmacy Council of India for imparting education in pharmacy. Therefore, all pharmacy colleges should be bound by the rules and regulation of Pharmacy Council of India. When we talk of medicine as such, you know, pharmacy is a very important topic, and if all the regulations that are being prescribed by the Pharmacy Council of India need to be followed, because, you know, at the end of the day, whenever a doctor prescribes the medicines and the patient visits the pharmacy, the person has to be qualified. He should understand what he is giving. If he has any doubts, you know, it is his duty. He would call up the physician or the hospital and get it clarified, and then prescribe and then dispense the right drugs to the patient. To ensure the uniform implementation of the educational standards throughout the country, therefore, the curriculum of B Pharma courses all over India should be the same and should not vary from state to state. Again, very important, because, you know, a person might be who is being treated in, say, Karnataka, tomorrow he is in Maharashtra. So it's not that the patient has changed or his treatment pattern has changed. So similarly, the education all over India has to be the same. Inspection of pharmacy institutions seeking approval under the Pharmacy Act to verify the availability of the prescribed norms, that is, prescribed number of teaching faculties with proper qualifications and research publication, to approve the course of study and examination for pharmacists, that is, approval of the academic training institutions providing pharmacy courses, that is, timely examination by recognized universities. The university needs to be recognized, proper checks have to be in place for such institutes. To maintain the central registrar of pharmacists, to withdraw approval if the approved course of study or an approved examination does not continue to be in conformity with the educational standards prescribed by the Pharmacy Council of India. Many individuals or a group of individuals, they tend to conduct some courses and give some certifications to the students, and the students might not even know that whether this certificate is valid, not valid. So study across has to be approved. It has to be in conformity with what the Pharmacy Council of India is laying down, and then only such courses can be valid and recognized. So, inspection of pharmacy institutions seeking approval under the Pharmacy Act to verify the availability of the prescribed norms, that is, the prescribed number of teaching faculties with proper qualification and research publications, to approve the course of the study and the examination for pharmacists, that is, the approval of academic training institutions providing pharmacy courses, and timely examinations by recognized universities. So when we are talking of this point, you know, it is very important to verify whether the teaching faculties are proper over there, whether they are not just on the name, and, you know, they have to be actually teaching the students over there, proper research publications are there. So all this is under the Pharmacy Council of India. To approve the qualification granted outside the territory to which the Pharmacy Act extends, that is, the approval of foreign qualifications, as we have seen with medical as well as dental. To withdraw approval if the approved course of study or an approved examination does not continue to be in conformity with the educational standard prescribed by the Pharmacy Council of India. As we discussed previously, you know, a lot of continuing education courses, as with medical, dental, are happening in pharmacy as well. People are giving certificates also, whether they conform to the standards laid down by the pharmacy council is very important. And it is not just, just fooling around students and taking some money and giving certificates. That is not the way. Now, let us discuss the composition of the Pharmacy Council of India. So, you need to have 6 members, among which there shall be at least one teacher of each of the subjects, pharmaceutical chemistry, pharmaceutical pharmacology, and pharmacognosy, elected by the university grants commissions from among persons of the teaching staff of an Indian university or a college affiliated thereto, which grants a degree or diploma in pharmacy. 6 members, of whom at least 4 shall be person possessing a degree or diploma in and practicing pharmacy or pharmaceutical chemistry, nominated by the central government. 1 member elected from amongst themselves by the members of the Medical Council of India, the director of Central Drugs Laboratory and the Drugs Controller India. Also in the composition, the Director General of Health Services, 1 member of each representing the Union Territory, 1 member to represent each Senate nominated by the state government, who shall be a registered pharmacist. 1 member to represent each state elected from amongst themselves by the members of each state council, who shall be a registered pharmacist, and a representative of the University Grants Commission and a representative of All India Council for Technical Education. What are the regulations for Pharmacy Council of India? First is the Pharmacy Act 1948, Education Regulations, Regulations of the Pharmacy Council of India, the Standing Orders of the Pharmacy Council of India, Pharmacist Oath, which is similar to the Hippocratic Oath taken by the medical graduates. Again, very important. Let us now discuss about the Indian Nursing Council. Again, under that, we'll be talking about objective, functions and composition of the council. What are the objectives or the functions of the Indian Nursing Council is to establish and monitor a uniform standard of nursing education for nurses, midwife, auxiliary nurse, midwives and health visitors by doing inspection of the institutions. Again, what we have discussed previously with medical, dental and pharmacy, very similar to that. To recognize the qualifications under Section 10 of the Nursing Council Act 1947 for the purpose of registration and employment in India and abroad. Today we see a lot of nurses who are, taking work outside India. So whether they are undergoing proper training, whether the institute is qualified to impart that, because if you see at the end of the day, the hospital is the most important people besides doctors in the hospitals are the nurses. They are the ones who take care of the patients. So they have to be trained absolutely proper. And whether the education that is being imparted to them is of proper standards or no, this is the most important function of the Nursing Council. To give approval for registration of Indian and foreign nurses possessing foreign qualifications as prescribed under the Indian Nursing Council Act 1947. Let us now discuss the most important function of the Nursing Council, Indian Nursing Council, that is the power to withdraw the recognition of qualification under the Act. If an institute fails to maintain the standards as prescribed by the Nursing Council of India, it has the powers to withdraw the recognition imparted to the institute. Why? Because as we have discussed previously, the quality of education that the nurses receive is very, very important. If it is not up to the mark, if they are not trained properly, if they don't have a proper practical experience besides the theory, then it will not help, because they are the backbone of hospitals. Without them, a hospital cannot function. Today, a doctor might come visit the patient and might then leave, but it is the nurse who is always there with the patient. So it is very important that they are trained properly, and when they can be trained properly, when the education is proper. Because if the foundation of education itself is not proper, then it will not help the nurses or the hospital any which ways. So it is very important that whatever guidelines the Indian Nursing Council has laid down for education, if it is not there, then they have full rights to de-recognize that institute. It also advises the state nursing councils, examining boards, state governments and central government in various important items like nursing education in the country. For example, like the Maharashtra Nursing Council guides the syllabus for nursing to the Maharashtra University of Health Sciences. So we have to see that the state itself, when we are talking of MUHS, that is the Maharashtra University of Health Sciences and the Maharashtra Nursing Council, when they work in a symbiotic relationship, it will be actually the best way to work, you know, and that's how it becomes a win-win situation for everybody. Because once the education is uniform, once the theory, the practical portion, everything is what is the requirement for a hospital, what the doctor wants, everything has to be taken into consideration when we are talking of this. Also, to prescribe the syllabus and regulations for nursing programs. Let us now discuss the composition of the Indian Nursing Council. So, one nurse enrolled in state registrar elected by each state council, like from Delhi Nursing Council. Two members elected from amongst themselves by the head of institutions recognized by the council. For the purpose of this clause, in which training is given for obtaining a university degree in nursing or in respect of a post certificate course in teaching of nursing and in nursing administration, like Dean of Medical Colleges selecting two members from his own teaching institutes. So this is the composition of the Nursing Council. Also, one member elected from amongst themselves by the heads of institutes in which the health visitors are trained. So when we are talking of training, you know, so one member who is elected amongst themselves from the head of this institute where this health visitors are trained, one member elected by the Medical Council of India, that is from New Delhi, and one member elected by the Central Council of the Indian Medical Association, that is the IMA. Also, one member elected by the Council of the Trained Nurses Association of India, one midwife or auxiliary nurse midwife, and enrolled in a state registrar elected by each of the state councils in the four groups of the state mentioned below. Each group of the state taken in rotation in the following order, namely Kerala, Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh, and Haryana. Second is Andhra Pradesh, Bihar, Maharashtra, Rajasthan. Third is Karnataka, Punjab, and West Bengal. And fourth is Assam, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, and Orissa. Also, the Director General of Health Services, the Chief Principal Matron, that is the Medical Directorate Army Headquarters, from Armed Forces Medical Colleges and Hospital, Pune AFMC, the Chief Nursing Superintendent Office of the Director General of the Health Services. So this is the composition. The Director of Maternity and Child Welfare, that is the Indian Red Cross Society, and the Chief Administrative Medical Officer of each state other than a union territory. So we have discussed all the points under the composition, and the superintendent of nursing services from each of the states in the two groups mentioned below, each group of the state being taken in rotation from the following order, namely Andhra Pradesh, Assam, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, and Haryana, that is one part, and the second Bihar, Gujarat, Kerala, Karnataka, Orissa, Punjab, and Rajasthan. Also, four members nominated by the central government, of whom at least two shall be nurses, midwives, or health visitors enrolled in the state registrar, and one shall be an experienced educationalist. Three members elected by the parliament, two by the House of the People from amongst its members, and the other by the Council of States from amongst its members. So, now let's go on to the Central Council of Homeopathy. Under, we'll be discussing similarly the objective functions and compositions of the council. So let us now discuss the objectives of the Central Council of Homeopathy. As we have discussed with medical and dental, the most important function is to have uniform standards of education in homeopathy, and that is across India. It should not vary, it has to be the same across India. And the registration of all these practitioners, whether they are graduates, postgraduates, in a proper manner. Homeopathy as such is a very important science, and hence education in this has to be regulated properly. And because there are, you know, there are so many elements where, you know, homeopathy works wonders. So hence proper standards of education across India is very important, and it is the most important function of the council to maintain that. The registration of practitioners on the Central Register of Homeopathy will check that medicine is not practiced by those who are not qualified in this system, and those who practice observe a code of ethics in the profession of homeopathy. What do I mean by this is, today, you know, it is homeopathy is not something over the counter that you see some YouTube videos or you read something and there are many people who start, it cannot work like that. It's a proper field of medicine, and I personally know people who have excelled in this field, and they have given fantastic results in chronic ailments where, you know, other fields of medicines have not worked. So it is not something that anybody can just start practicing. So it has to be done properly. It has to be practiced only by qualified practitioners. The council also prescribes and recognizes all homeopathic medicine qualifications. Any university or medical institution that desires to grant a medical qualification in homeopathy is required to apply to the council before starting a new homeopathic medical college. So it's not just that anybody can start this college. It needs to apply to the medical institution. It needs to have that infrastructure to impart that training, after which only they can start this. The council is responsible for the constitution and the maintenance of Central Register of Homeopathy and for medical legal matters concerned therewith. Again, very important, a lot of medical legal matters also coming up with homeopathy. So it is the responsibility of the council for constitution and maintenance of the Central Register of Homeopathy and for all the matters, medical legal matters. All universities, boards and medical institutions in India are required to furnish all information regarding courses of study and examination patterns and schedules. The council is empowered to appoint inspectors at examinations and visitors to examine facilities to see whether they are being implemented and carried as per the prescribed norms. So as I said, you know, it is the one should not look down at it is very important. And the council is doing actually a fantastic job now, where, you know, very strict checks are being kept so as to see whether the institute is having all the required infrastructure and facilities to impart this education as per the norms prescribed by the council. Such number of members not exceeding 5 may be determined by the central government in accordance with the provision of the first schedule from each state in which a state register of homeopathy is maintained, to be elected from amongst themselves by persons enrolled on that registered as practitioners of homeopathy. Also, one member from each university to be elected from amongst themselves by the members of the faculty or department of homeopathy of that university. Such number of members not exceeding 40% of the total number of members elected under clause A and B, as may be nominated by the central government from amongst persons having special knowledge or practical experience in respect of homeopathy or other related disciplines. Thank you so much for your patient hearing. Thank you.